It is turning into a momentous few days in Detroit's quest to exit bankruptcy. First came a deal with two global banks, UBS and Bank of America. Then an agreement with leaders of Detroit's retired police and firefighters. And that was followed late yesterday by a settlement with the remaining Detroit retirees. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes joins us now. And Daniel, if we looked at all of this as a baseball game and crossing home plate represents Detroit's exit from bankruptcy, what base is the city on?
They're at least on second, I would think, and looking at third. I think a lot of people that have been following this and understand this process have known for a long time that the key to unlocking this bankruptcy was going to be the pension funds and the pensioners, the retirees more generally. Mm-hmm. And I think there was growing concern on the part of emergency manager Kevin Orr and his team, as well as the governor and his team, that draconian cuts by the court in the middle of the summer, as we were going into a general election, were going to be a spectacle that nobody wanted. And I think that includes Judge Rhodes as well. And I think that's why he was issuing some very strong language and using strong language last week from the bench and basically saying it's time to end the PR campaigns and it's time for you guys to really get serious about negotiating.
And that was really aimed at both parties, at all parties.
That was aimed at everybody.
Everybody.
Because it was clear for several weeks that Kevin Orr was on a PR campaign and he was selling. I think you and I talked about that a couple weeks ago, that he was in a selling mode and he kept talking about this deal and why they needed to take the deal. And conversely, I think you had the pension funds, the unions, and others doing their level best to push back. And they were going around doing backgrounders with us and others and talking about what the real numbers were and kept focusing on the totality of the cut. It wasn't just the pension fund cut. It was the loss of a cost of living allowances. Mm-hmm. It was loss of paid health care for retirees. And by the end of last week, I was pretty pessimistic.
We talked about that. You very much were.
And the DIA would be back in play again, et cetera, et cetera. You know, a couple of things have happened. One, I think Judge Rhodes pushed them. Two, the bullish market and the performance of these pension funds in 2013 changed the math.
Okay.
The return for the police and fire pension fund in 2013 was 18.5%. That's a huge number, and it really enabled them to kind of look at some of the metrics, and they agreed to raise what's called the discount rate, which is what they expect to earn over a long period of time, not to 18%, clearly, but what that number is has a dramatic effect on a pension funds the size we're talking about here. A one-point movement either way can represent $750 million.
So they had more money to work with.
They had a little bit more to work with, but I think the other thing that you're not hearing about so much right now, and one of the real battlegrounds is still to play out, is going to be a change in the governance and leadership of these pension funds, because there's a belief that two things. One is shoddy governance and bad leadership got them into some very difficult positions that they've only recently been trying to dig out of.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, you're not going to get 18.5% returns every year in the investment market. So you have to be able to take the good years and pay it ahead for when the bad years are there and not be sending people 13th checks and all that kind of stuff that got them into a lot of trouble.
So we know that the pension boards agreed to benefit cuts that were much lower than we heard of in the plan of adjustment, 4.5% cuts for the monthly mm-hmm. pension checks.
Mm-hmm.
But and we heard police and fire retirees will have no cuts in monthly checks and some cuts in COLA. But now we look at the VEBA, and we all remember that was a big part of the GM and Chrysler bankruptcy process. Tell us what that means for these retirees. How does that work?
A VEBA is essentially a health care trust that is created and funded by the city up to a point, and it's used to help them defray their health costs. How the mechanics of that are ultimately going to work are a little less clear right now. In the case of the auto companies, they funded it with some of their cash and stock and other things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, the city doesn't have something like that. But I think what's interesting and what's developing here is two different strains. You're having people talk about how nothing has changed, that because the police and fire, for example, are not getting their pensions cut, nothing has changed. Why did we go through this whole exercise of bankruptcy? Well, I think people are really oversimplifying this. A lot has changed. And one of them is retiree health care and the creation of the VEBA. That takes that obligation off the long-term balance sheet of the city. And there are a number of other things that are being taken off the balance sheet by this whole process, whether it's, and we've talked about this, whether it's the interest rate swaps, agreements with Bank of America and UBS, or it's probably the first certificates of participation burden that is still to be litigated. So I think when we get to the end of this process, you are going to see the debts of the city adjusted. And remember, this is called a plan of adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not called a debt elimination plan. It's called an adjustment plan. You're not eliminating the city's debts. You're adjusting them to a way that can be sustainable so they're not back in Chapter 9 5 years from now.
Daniel, should we expect the retirees to approve these deals?
Well, you know, it's going to be very interesting. I think the sentiment last week, clearly, that you saw on message boards and on comments on our stories and columns was, I think, decidedly negative. You know, there's no question that initially this was looking to be a lot worse than it appears that it's going to end up to be. I think you're going to have a lot of people kind of breathe a sigh of relief here and say, I can live with this. I don't like it, but I can live with this. And if they do vote it down, then it does get worse because you lose $816 million and potentially some other things that are being talked about. Both Detroit papers today are reporting about some discussions with the Obama administration about using some federal money for blight removal that would then free up additional funds that the state could move around, essentially, to benefit pensions.
That could be $100 million.
Right. But if they were to vote this thing down, I think all the wheels come off the wagon, and I think then you potentially would be looking at a cram down from the judge down the road. And what you see from the leadership is a recognition that we do not want to be subject, and we don't want our people to be subject to a cram down. And I think the people who would be doing the cramming down, Kevin Warr and essentially Governor Rick Snyder, they don't want to do it either for reasons that should be pretty obvious.
Right. Well, the idea that possibly with a cram down, you could see a 26% monthly pension cut for the police and fire and 34% for the retirees, this, I'm sure, is looking better.
Yeah. And I don't know that even those numbers would hold, Cynthia, because of some of the performance of these pension funds. I mean, we may have turned a corner here in two ways. One is being able to offer them cuts that are palatable, if a little distasteful, and two is laying the table for getting much better, more disciplined management of these pension funds who are designed to benefit the people who worked for the city, not for the 5 or 10 or 15 people who happen to be elected and be on the boards of those pension funds. And you've got people that are pushing back because they've got their own little fiefdom. Well, essentially what they're saying here is as a condition of this deal, you're not going to have those fiefdoms anymore, and it's going to be more professionally run, and that's going to be the exchange. Now, in the case of police and fire, they've already kind of moved in that direction, and I think they need some credit for that. But there's a long legacy of sloppiness that they've got to get away from, and they're clearly going to move in that direction under this.
I think we need to look at the next big challenge. Is that water?
Yes, I don't think there's any question. You know, this week the judge could order federal mediation, and if you look at what's happened here, the deals that have been done with the mediation team led by Chief District Judge Jerry Rosen, it is proving to be very effective and is proving to move very quickly. And I think what happens is you finally are going to get in the room some negotiators from the city and from the counties, and essentially people wearing black robes are going to say, all right, let's stop this finger-pointing about who's not getting what information. You know, Kevin Orr has addressed this issue. He issued a letter. I wrote about it.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what I heard as a result of that?
What?
Zip. Nothing. And I know some of those people, and they, believe me, if they took issue with some of the things that were in that or the contentions that Kevin Orr made, I'd have heard about it. But they didn't, because they know that, I think, that fundamentally what he was saying and the information that he said he had given his team had given to them in the number of meetings is true. I think this could be very fruitful to have a federal mediator involved here and to basically say, okay, let's everybody take the temperature down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's see where we are in terms of the information, and let's start getting serious about what some of the options are here. I think it could prove to be very effective, but I do think it is the big thing now. If you assume that the pension thing goes forward and the DIA grand bargain actually does get accepted.
Well, and that's the final question. I wondered, with these developments in the last few days and these pieces falling into place, what does that mean in terms of what is now expected of Lansing and that $815 million grand bargain in Lansing's share?
Well, I don't think there's any question that the governor and the Republican leadership in both houses have to deliver. They know they have to deliver. Balloting begins May 1st. It's a 60-day window, so it would go to the end of June. And the governor has made it very clear, as have the legislative leadership, that they expect to drop legislation to take it up and move it by the end of May or early June as part of their legislative action and the budget process. That would mean it would fall right in the middle of this balloting period. So if you are a retiree, I think it is entirely reasonable to say, you know what, I got this ballot, I can look through it in May, I can sit down with my family, I can sit down with whoever I need to talk to about this, but I got to wait and see what these people in Lansing are going to do. But I think in terms of knowing how this plays out, we're not going to really know how it plays out until the end of June.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thank you.